clear skies across the KPR listening area with temperatures currently in the mid to upper 30s. We'll have a high of 67.
Good morning. Congress moves to reopen the government.
Washington.
And good morning. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Jay Schaefer. It's 6:04. Marion County in central Kansas will have to pay a total of $3 million to settle a lawsuit over its role in a small-town newspaper raid that made international news. As Frank Morris reports, that newspaper, the Marion County Record, is still pressing a lawsuit against the city of Marion.
On Friday morning in the summer of 2023, Marion, Kansas's entire five-member police force and two sheriff's deputies stormed the town's newspaper office and the publisher's home, confronting the publisher's 98-year-old mother, who had a heart attack and died the next day. The officers seized computers and cell phones, looking for evidence that the paper had improperly obtained confirmation of a local business owner's drunk driving conviction. An investigation later found no evidence of criminal conduct by the paper. This week, the county apologized. It'll split the $3 million payment among the publisher, two reporters, and the town's former vice mayor, whose home was also raided. The arrangement doesn't clear the police chief of criminal charges or the city's liability in approving the raids. I'm Frank Morris.
Marion County has agreed to pay the editor of the local paper, Eric Meyer, $1.5 million. Insurance will cover most of that, but the county itself will be on the hook for $50,000. An additional lawsuit filed against the former Marion police chief, Gideon Cody, was settled earlier this year for $235,000. A fatal crash in southeast Kansas has claimed the lives of three family members. On Monday morning, just west of Neodesha, a collision on U.S. Highway 44 claimed the lives of a young couple and their two-year-old son. KWCH-TV reports that authorities say the vehicle was struck by a semi-truck. China has reversed course and committed to buying 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans this year, but that's about half of what China would normally import. As Harvest Public Media's Will Bauer reports, some farmers are sending their soybeans to be processed domestically, but it's not enough to fill the gap.
In recent years, American companies have built up what are known as crushing facilities to turn beans into oil and meal. There's nearly 70 processors in the U.S., and that number is growing. Still, domestic soybean crushing can't make up for what China isn't buying this year. That's according to economist Tanner Emke with the AgLender CoBank.
China buys traditionally about half the soybeans we export, and we can't replace that amount with domestic usage. It's impossible. Even if we did, we would have a tremendous amount of soybean meal that we need to find a home for.
Emke says farmers in the upper Midwest will be the hardest hit by the trade war. Many will opt to store their soybeans until the markets improve. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Will Bauer.
In men's college basketball, KU defeated Texas A&M Corpus Christi 77-46 at Allen Fieldhouse. The K-State men will be in action tomorrow night at Bramlage Coliseum in Manhattan as the Wildcats take on California. Clear skies this morning, partly sunny later today, with a high of 67 or warmer.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.
Good morning. Thanks for choosing Kansas Public Radio for your news and weather this morning. Speaking of the weather, it's going to be beautiful today and for the next couple of days. We may have some patchy fog between now and 8 a.m. here in northeast Kansas. But for the most part, we expect sunshine and a high of 67. It'll be warmer Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 70. Friday, sunny and 75. And on Saturday, mostly sunny and 75 degrees. Our next chance for precipitation won't come until late Sunday night, when there's about a 30% chance of rain sometime after midnight. And on Monday, we're looking at a 50-50 chance for showers. Currently clear and 36 degrees here in Lawrence and in Topeka. In Manhattan, clear and 35. Junction City, 35. Chanute, clear and 36. And in Emporia, a clear sky, 39 degrees.
Support for KPR's Community Spotlight comes from the Sunflower Foundation in Topeka, with a mission to serve as a catalyst for improving the health of all Kansans. More information is available at sunflowerfoundation.org.
A reminder that the next Cinema A Go-Go is coming up Friday night at Liberty Hall in downtown Lawrence. We've got two great B movies for you. One of them's about a dinosaur attacking New York City. The other one, just as bad. Friday night at 7. Get details online.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from BritBox, committed to helping viewers.
Origins of the ISS on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered begins at 3 o'clock today on Kansas Public Radio. We invite you to join your host, Laura Lorson, for All Things Considered. It runs from 3 to 7 every weekday on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lecompton Historical Society's Christmas Through the Ages. Over 200 Christmas trees with vintage and antique ornaments at the Territorial Capital Museum, now till December 31st. Details at LecomptonKansas.com.
Some patchy fog possible this morning. Later on, sunshine, a high of 67 expected. It's 6:30.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Street futures are higher this morning. This is NPR News.
And this is KPR News. Good morning, I'm Jay Schaefer. Marion County will pay a total of $3 million to three journalists and a member of the city council connected to a 2023 law enforcement raid on the local newspaper, the Marion County Record. The Marion County Sheriff's Office also issued a statement admitting regret for its handling of search warrants connected to the raids on homes and the offices of the newspaper. Marion County's Board of Commissioners approved those agreements this week with Eric Meyer, the owner and editor of the local paper. Marion City Council member Ruth Herbel and journalists Deb Groover and Phyllis Zorn. The Kansas Reflector reports that the agreements could have an impact, you know, on the paper's ongoing cases against the city of Marion. The county has agreed to pay the editor of the paper, Eric Meyer, $1.5 million. Insurance will cover most of that, but the county itself must pay Meyer $50,000. An additional lawsuit against the former Marion police chief, Gideon Cody, was settled earlier this year for $235,000. A family of three has been killed in an automobile crash in southeast Kansas. KWCH-TV reports that a young couple and their two-year-old son were killed Monday morning in a crash with a semi just west of Neodesha on U.S. Highway 44. A preliminary investigation by the Highway Patrol indicates that the driver of the car may have failed to yield at a stop sign when it was struck by the semi. None of the victims in the car were wearing seat belts. When the new session begins in January, state lawmakers may consider legislation that would give some inmates in prison a chance to shorten their sentences. The inmates must have been in prison for at least 10 years and meet other criteria like finishing rehabilitation programs. They could then petition the court for a resentencing hearing. Danita Long has a son who's been sentenced to more than 30 years in prison for crimes he committed when he was just 23 years old. She told state lawmakers that her son has matured while in prison, and this bill would allow a court to consider that and reduce his prison sentence.
That's not leniency. It's fairness. That's accountability with compassion. That's what justice should look like.
Some Republican lawmakers say they are skeptical of the legislation. State officials estimate thousands of current inmates would be eligible to file a petition to reduce their prison sentences. In men's college basketball, KU beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi 77-46 last night at Allen Fieldhouse. The K-State men will be in action tomorrow against California. The game in Manhattan.
Morning edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles.ku.edu.
Serving you since 1952, this is Kansas Public Radio. You might see some patchy fog if you live in northeast Kansas between now and 8 o'clock this morning. But for the most part, we're expecting sunshine and a high near 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 70. Friday and Saturday will warm up to around 75 degrees with a mostly sunny to sunny sky for Friday and Saturday. Sunday will cool back down, a high of 64. Late Sunday night, a 30% chance of rain, and on Monday, a 50-50 chance of showers. Right now, clear skies all across eastern Kansas. Here in Lawrence, 36 degrees, Topeka, 37. Manhattan and Junction City, 35. In Chanute, clear skies, 35 degrees. And in Emporia, it's clear and 39. This is world-famous Kansas Public Radio. It's 644.
Hi, I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At NPR and this station, we take our democratic role as watchdogs seriously. We hold the powerful to account, and we hold ourselves to a set of core principles: integrity, independent.
More information about KU Research is at ku.edu.
It's Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio on this Wednesday morning, November 12th. In about 10 minutes, we'll have a summary of national, international, and Kansas news headlines. Stay with us.
Support for KPR comes from the Watkins Museum of History, presenting their 50th anniversary party, Keeping History Alive Since 75. November 20th, 5:30 to 10:30 at Abe and Jake's Landing. Tickets and details at watkinsmuseum.org.
Giant monsters attack this Friday night at Liberty Hall. We hope you'll join us for our next Cinema A Go-Go. Our enormous double feature includes The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, plus It Came from Beneath the Sea, in which San Francisco is laid waste by a jumbo octopus. Join us at 7 o'clock Friday night at Liberty Hall. You can get tickets at the door. You can learn more about this installment of KPR's Cinema A Go-Go online at kansaspublicradio.org. And we hope to see you Friday night. Some patchy fog possible this morning, otherwise sunshine and a high of 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 70. And then on Friday and Saturday, mostly sunny to sunny with a high of 75 degrees.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen.
Broadcasting from the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3, K210 CR in Atchison 89.9, and K25 8BT in Manhattan at 99.5. Find your frequency on our website, where we broadcast live all the time, kansaspublicradio.org. It's 7 o'clock, time for the latest news.
Good morning.
U.S., the babies have been hospitalized. This is NPR.
Good morning. This is KPR News. I'm Jay Schaefer. Another small earthquake has rattled northwest Kansas. KSNW-TV reports that the quake happened around 6 o'clock Monday night in Ellsworth County, about halfway between the city of Wilson and Wilson Lake. This was the sixth small earthquake near Wilson in the past 2 weeks. The U.S. Geological Survey says that the earthquake had a magnitude of 2.8 and occurred at a depth of roughly 6 miles. Quakes below 3.0 in magnitude typically go unnoticed by the public. Well, the next time city or county officials in Kansas approve a police raid on a newspaper's office or a publisher's home, they will want to think twice about it. Marion County, Kansas, will now pay a total of $3 million to settle a lawsuit over its role in a small-town newspaper raid that made international news. As Frank Morris reports, the newspaper, the Marion County Record, is still pressing a lawsuit against the city of Marion.
On Friday morning in the summer of 2023, Marion, Kansas's entire 5-member police force and 2 sheriff's deputies stormed the town's newspaper office and the publisher's home, confronting the publisher's 98-year-old mother, who had a heart attack and died the next day. The officers seized computers and cell phones, looking for evidence that the paper had improperly obtained confirmation of a local business owner's drunk driving conviction. An investigation later found no evidence of criminal conduct by the paper. This week, the county apologized. It'll split the $3 million payment among the publisher, 2 reporters, and the town's former vice mayor, whose home was also raided. The arrangement doesn't clear the police chief of criminal charges or the city's liability in approving the raids. I'm Frank Morris.
And we will have more on this story coming up later this hour on Kansas Public Radio. A fatal crash in southeast Kansas has claimed the lives of 3 family members. On Monday morning, just west of Neodesha, a collision on U.S. Highway 44 claimed the lives of a young couple and their 2-year-old son. KWCH-TV reports the couple's vehicle collided with a semi-truck. A preliminary investigation by the Highway Patrol indicates that the driver of the car may have failed to yield at a stop sign when it was struck by the semi. None of the victims in the car were wearing seatbelts. In men's college basketball, the University of Kansas defeated Texas A&M Corpus Christi last night, 77-46, the final score at Allen Fieldhouse. The K-State men will be taking on California tomorrow night at 8 in Manhattan. In women's action, the Kansas Jayhawks will take on Lamar at 6 o'clock tonight in Lawrence, and the K-State women will take on South Dakota tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in Manhattan. The forecast for the KPR listening area looks like this. Sunny skies today and a high of 67. A bit warmer tomorrow with a high of 70. And then Friday and Saturday it should be sunny with a high of 75. This is KPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.
7:19 on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haines and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on Morning Edition, the latest news from around the world across the state. That's just 10 minutes away. Now, here at KPR, we hate to overpromise and underdeliver. However, there is a chance for you to possibly see the Northern Lights tonight here in Kansas. Normally, you have to go up to northern Minnesota or Canada to see the Aurora Borealis, but there is a chance tonight in Kansas to see the Northern Lights. Now, I went out in rural Kansas during an earlier opportunity to see the Northern Lights. I could kind of, sort of see the Aurora Borealis with my naked eyes, but my phone, which apparently has much better vision, did record some pretty good pictures. I'd love to be able to explain all this to you about geomagnetic storms, but I barely understand it myself. So if you'd like to see the Northern Lights, get away from the city tonight. Go to a rural part of the state. Look to the north. Before you go, Google some information about all of this so you can have a better understanding of what's taking place. I'm just saying, there's a chance, maybe, to see the Northern Lights in Kansas tonight. So good luck with that.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Easy Cater, committed to helping organizations order and
engines of the ISS on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered is on the air from 3 to 7 today here on Kansas Public Radio. Join your host, Laura Lorson, for ATC, beginning at 3.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center and the KU School of Music, presenting the KU Symphony Orchestra with Xavier Foley on bass, Thursday, November 13th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
A sunny sky is expected today and will warm up to around 67. Tomorrow's high 70, and then Friday and Saturday we'll have a high of 75.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Before the day's over, the House is expected to approve legislation to end the government shutdown, now in its form. This is NPR News.
And this is Kansas Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Jay Schaefer. Marion County will have to pay a total of $3 million to three journalists and a city council member connected to a 2023 law enforcement raid on the local newspaper, the Marion County Record. The Marion County Sheriff's Office also issued a statement admitting regret for its handling of search warrants connected to raids on homes and the offices of the newspaper. Marion County's Board of Commissioners approved agreements this week with Eric Meyer, the owner and editor of the newspaper. Marion City Council member Ruth Herbel and journalists Deb Groover and Phyllis Zorn. The Kansas Reflector reports that the agreements could have an impact in the paper's ongoing cases against the city of Marion. The county agreed to pay Eric Meyer, the publisher, $1.5 million. Insurance will cover most of that, but the county itself is on the hook for at least $50,000. An additional lawsuit against the former Marion police chief, Gideon Cody, was settled earlier this year for $235,000. A family of three has been killed in an automobile crash in southeast Kansas. KWCH-TV reports that a young couple, Adam and Kylie Brooks, and their two-year-old son, Cohen, were killed Monday morning in a crash with a semi-truck just west of Neodesha on U.S. Highway 400. A preliminary investigation by the Highway Patrol indicates that the driver of the car may have failed to yield at a stop sign when it was struck by the semi. China has reversed course and committed to buying 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans this year. That's about half of what China would normally import. As Harvest Public Media's Will Bauer reports, some farmers are deciding to send their soybeans to be processed domestically, but it's still not enough to fill the gap.
In recent years, American companies have built up what are known as crushing facilities to turn beans into oil hit by the trade war. Many will opt to store their soybeans until the markets improve. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Will Bauer.
In men's college basketball, the Kansas Jayhawks defeated Texas A&M Corpus Christi 77-46 last night at Allen Fieldhouse. The K-State men will take on California tomorrow night at 8 in Manhattan. Partly sunny skies today will warm up to around 67 degrees.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inske.
Good morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
KPR's Community Spotlight is now accepting applications from local nonprofits who need help spreading awareness about their mission. If you're one of the lucky ones next year, we will highlight your organization for a month using our own airwaves and website. Get more information about the KPR Community Spotlight and how you can apply for your organization at kansaspublicradio.org. A very pretty fall day in store with sunny skies. We'll have a high of 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny, will warm up to near 70 degrees. And then Friday and Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny or sunny, and we'll have a high of 75 degrees both Friday and Saturday. Right now, sunny and 38 degrees at the University of Kansas.
NPR brings you to where the stories are.
Our colleague Leila Favel is in Syria, learning some of the secrets of a government.
His family's farm is mostly corn and soybeans. He's also president of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association.
An exhibit at a museum in Nuuk, Greenland's capital. Our co-host Juana Summers takes us there.
This is NPR.
A feeding and more. Full list of activities and tickets at topekazoo.org.
The latest business news is up next from the Marketplace Morning Report. And in less than 10 minutes, we'll have a summary of national, international, and Kansas news headlines. A sunny sky is expected today with a high of 67. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 70. And then on Friday and Saturday, it should be mostly sunny to sunny with high temps in the mid-70s. Our next chance for precipitation will come late Sunday night when there's a 30% chance of rain. And this coming Monday, we're looking at a 50-50 chance for showers.
Support for KPIY, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
It's sunny and 38 degrees.
This is NPR.
And this is Kansas Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Jay Schaefer. The next time city or county officials in Kansas think of approving a police raid on a newspaper office or a publisher's home, they may want to think again. Marion County, Kansas, will now pay a total of $3 million to settle a lawsuit over its role in a police raid on the Marion County newspaper, the Marion County Record. The raid made national and even international news. As Frank Morris reports, the Marion County Record is still pressing a lawsuit against the city of Marion.
On Friday morning in the summer of 2023, Marion, Kansas's entire five-member police force and two sheriff's deputies stormed. It'll split the $3 million payment among the publisher, two reporters, and the town's former vice mayor, whose home was also raided. The arrangement doesn't clear the police chief of criminal charges or the city's liability in approving the raids. I'm Frank Morris.
Another small earthquake has rattled northwest Kansas, but hardly anyone noticed. KSNW-TV reports the quake happened around 6 o'clock Monday evening in Ellsworth County, about halfway between the city of Wilson and Wilson Lake. It was the sixth such small earthquake near the town of Wilson in the past 2 weeks. The U.S. Geological Survey says that quake had a magnitude of 2.8 and occurred at a depth of roughly 6 miles. Quakes below 3.0 in magnitude typically go unnoticed by the public. When the new session begins in January, state lawmakers could consider legislation that would give some inmates in prison a chance to shorten their prison sentences. The inmates must have been in prison for at least 10 years and meet other criteria like finishing rehabilitation programs. They could then petition the court for a resentencing hearing. Danita Long has a son who was sentenced to more than 30 years in prison for crimes he committed when he was 23 years old. She told lawmakers recently her son has matured while in prison, and this bill would allow a court to consider that and possibly reduce his sentence.
That's not leniency. It's fairness. That's accountability with compassion. That's what justice should look like.
Some Republican lawmakers say they remain skeptical of the idea. State officials estimate thousands of current inmates would be eligible to file a petition. In sports, men's college basketball, KU defeated Texas A&M Corpus Christi last night 77-46 at Allen Fieldhouse. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors.
It's 8:19 on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Music, presenting the 101st Vespers. The seasonal music tradition returns December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lead Center. Tickets at lead.ku.edu.
We've got more news to bring you on Morning Edition, but at 9 o'clock, we'll bring you classical music on KPR One. Cordelia Brown will be in the house bringing us Aaron Copland's nostalgic letter from home. And we'll also spend part of the day in the Grand Canyon with sunrise, painted desert, on the trail, sunset, and cloudburst. That's this morning from 9 to noon with your classical friend Cordelia Brown. If you're listening to KPR 2, at 9 o'clock, we will bring you news from the BBC.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Good Shepherd Home Care and Hospice in Manhattan, providing care in private homes, assisted living centers, nursing homes, or at their own hospice house. More details at goodshepherdhh.org.
Sunny skies and 40 degrees here at KPR. We'll have a high today near 67. Tomorrow's high around 70 degrees. And looking ahead to Friday and Saturday, it should be sunny or mostly sunny, and we'll have a high of 75 degrees. Once again, here in Lawrence, sunny and 40. In Topeka, sunny and 40. And in Manhattan, sunny and 39 degrees.
Join us.
But all things considered, from NPR News.
The International Space Station and a whole lot more. That's the focus of All Things Considered later today on KPR. Join your host, Laura Lorson, from 3 to 7 for All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Dole fellow and former Kosovar diplomat Chandram Gashi in conversation with Pierre Shimunovich. November 13th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
We'll have sunny skies today and warm up to around 67 degrees. Right now, sunny and 41 at the KPR studios in Lawrence.
Live are coming to work. Air traffic controllers, of course, don't get paid until the shutdown ends, and they have now missed two full paychecks.
Moments ago on Wall Street, stocks opened higher. Analysts say investors are encouraged by the potential end of the longest government shutdown on record, pending the upcoming vote in the House. This is NPR News.
And this is KPR News. Good morning, I'm Jay Schaefer. A community in southeast Kansas is mourning the loss of the lives of three members of a family. On Monday morning, just west of Neodesha, a collision on U.S. Highway 400 claimed the lives of a young couple, Adam and Kylie Brooks, and their two-year-old toddler, Cohen. KWCH-TV reports the Neodesha couple's vehicle collided with a semi-truck. A preliminary investigation by the Highway Patrol indicates the driver of the car may have failed to yield at a stop sign when it was struck by the semi. Authorities say none of the victims in the car were wearing seat belts. Marion County will pay a total of $3 million to three journalists and a member of the city council connected to a 2023 law enforcement raid on the local newspaper, the Marion County Record. The Marion County Sheriff's Office also issued a statement this week admitting regret for its handling of search warrants connected to the raids on homes and the offices of the newspaper. Marion County's Board of Commissioners approved agreements this week with publisher Eric Meyer, who's also the owner of the paper. The agreement was also with Marion City Council member Ruth Herbel and journalists Deb Groover and Phyllis Zorn. The Kansas Reflector reports that the agreements could have an impact on the paper's ongoing cases against the city of Marion. The county agreed to pay the editor, Eric Meyer, $1.5 million. Insurance will cover most of that, but the county itself must pay Meyer $50,000. An additional lawsuit against the former Marion police chief, Gideon Cody, was settled earlier this year for $235,000. China has reversed course and committed to buy 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans this year. That's about half of what China would normally import. As Harvest Public Media reports, some farmers are sending their soybeans to be processed domestically, but it's still not enough to fill the gap.
In recent years, American companies have built up what are known as crushing facilities to turn beans into oil and meal. There's nearly 70 processors in the U.S., and that number is growing. Still, domestic soybean crushing can't make up for what China isn't buying this year. That's according to economist Tanner Emke with the AgLender CoBank.
China buys traditionally about half the soybeans we export, and we can't replace that amount with domestic usage. It's impossible. Even if we did, we would have a tremendous amount of soybean meal that we need to find a home for.
Emke says farmers in the upper Midwest will be the hardest hit by the trade war. Many will opt to store their soybeans until the markets improve. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Will Bauer.
In men's college basketball, KU beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi last night. This is KPR.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles.
8:42 on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas.
More information at lmh.org/primary.
Well, last hour I mentioned how you have a chance to see the Northern Lights tonight here in Kansas. And then I heard from my friend Michelle. She said she saw them last night, and she sent me a picture, all braggadocious about it. Well, here's the deal. Due to geomagnetic storms in outer space, people in Kansas have yet another night to possibly see the Northern Lights. Now, you'll want to get away from city light pollution. In a rural area, your best chance to see the Northern Lights tonight will be after 10 p.m. And again, we hate to overpromise and underdeliver, but at least there's a chance. There's a chance for you to see the Aurora Borealis with your own naked eye, and certainly with your smartphone, tonight, mainly in northern Kansas. It's 8:44, and this is KPR.
I'm Layla Faldin, a bit behind on the news. No sweat, we got you.
Okay, so just remind us, who is suing the government here?
What do you know about this executive action?
So how are conservatives who oppose Trump feeling right now?
What jobs are being cut out there?
If the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau cannot do its work, what does that mean for Americans?
No matter what the headlines bring, we'll break it all down for you. This is NPR.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep. In 1875, Sir George Nares set off for the North Pole, a journey that needed a special drink.
You're in tune with Kansas Public Radio. Coming up at 9 o'clock, the news will continue on KPR 2 stations. But if you're listening to good old-fashioned KPR, or KPR 1, as we sometimes call it, you'll get the classics with Cordelia Brown. More on what she will bring us in just a moment.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
So from 9 to noon today, Cordelia Brown will bring us the classics, including Aaron Copland's nostalgic Letter from Home. And then we'll spend part of the day in the Grand Canyon by listening to Sunrise, Painted Desert, On the Trail, Sunset, and Cloudburst. Just some of what's in store from 9 to noon today on KPR 1. On KPR 2, we'll bring you news from the BBC. Our forecast looks like this: sunshine today and a pretty nice fall day with a high near 67 degrees. Tonight, a low of 37. Tomorrow, a bit warmer, partly sunny on Thursday, a high of 70. And then for Friday and Saturday, mostly sunshine with highs in the mid-70s. This is Kansas Public Radio.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Amy Martinez. Women make up less than 5% of the construction trades, professions such as carpenter, electrician, and plumber. President Trump wants to grow the industry, but there are fears women could be further sidelined.
It's almost 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio, KANU. And KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. You'll find us broadcasting online at kansaspublicradio.org. Sunny skies all day long with a high temp around 67. A bit warmer tomorrow with a high of 70. And then Friday and Saturday, nothing but sunshine and a high near 75 degrees. Stick around for the classics with Cordelia Brown. She'll take us on a tour of the Grand Canyon. Say, the holiday season is fast approaching. You already know that. Well, do you have your tickets for the big band Christmas concert? coming up Saturday night, December 13th at Liberty Hall. We sold out last year. I don't even know if there's still tickets available. I suppose I should find out. Or find out for yourself by contacting Ticketmaster.com or checking with the box office at Liberty Hall. KPR's Big Band Christmas Concert is made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. Get more information at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 9:01. Have a happy Wednesday.